Let's get started this morning. I talk about a lot of things from up here. I talk about things that I enjoy. I talk about things that frustrate me. One of the things that I'm kind of on the fence about is technology. Because it is a blessing. And also a curse. The coin is blessing. So the coin is technology, and one side of that coin is blessing, and the other side is curse. I don't know if you've been reading the stats or listening to what's out there, but people are on their phones 4 and 5 hours a day. There's now, literally, because I'm in the counseling profession, they're trying to figure out where phone addiction falls, because people have that. People who are on their phones who can't get away from them. How many of you have ever felt your phone buzz and it didn't? You got a problem. So your brain is trying to tell you, it's been too long. I don't know how many times a day I will do that. I now just carry it in my hand because I'm like, the devil is a liar. I know that this thing didn't buzz. You'll slap your pocket, you'll hear it, you'll be like, my phone just buzzed. You'll pick it up, nope. But then you'll just get on it for no apparent reason. Technology, it's a blessing, isn't it? It is a blessing in that we are now connected globally. My nephew's in Japan, he's in Tokyo. I talked to him the other day, face to face, live stream. I mean, it was dark where he was and light where I was, but that has to do with planet rotation. I can't do anything about that. But we talked, he and I had a conversation face to face. Technology is a wonderful thing. We have software for almost every task, calendars for almost every schedule, and countless games to just suck the life out of you and pull your time down the, right? I should say, to keep us occupied. And when everything is going well, it's a pretty beautiful thing, isn't it? I finally got a calendar that I pay attention to on my phone. I also got an administrative assistant. But listen, some of us need more than just an app. Some of us need a person to go, did you do it, did you do it, did you do it? I've got calendars. I've got all kinds of good things that are on my phone. Everything is great until you get this message. And you have to think so carefully. Like there's like this moment of stillness where like there's almost like this a little bit of anxiety, like, should I do this? Because you want to click no. Because I think we've all experienced what happens when you get an update. Updates are supposed to be good for you. They're supposed to be positive. If you worship at the altar of Apple, I'm sorry. If you have Apple products, this has become almost a weekly occurrence. Man, I mean, it's just about once a week, the next thing is coming out, and here's how it's going to make everything better. Most recently, it drains your battery. They don't know what to do with that. They're working on a new update, because now people's batteries, you can watch it just go, you know, it wasn't great as it was. And so you make sure, you know, that you got to pay attention to these things. Everybody in the Apple world knows that you turn on automatic updating. You just do. Because otherwise, stuff just stops working. You'll click on an app and it'll flash open and then flash closed. And then you'll be like, oh, I have to go. So you just turn on. You want all of your apps to do their own thing. You want your phone, which is terrifying, by the way, to think for you and do all of its own things. Just be like, don't worry, I'm over here conquering the world. You're fine. I'm going to take over everything in a minute. If you don't update, everybody knows what happens. Apps stop working. Eventually, your wonderful technology becomes like a $600 paperweight. It's not good for anything. I have an iPad at my home that does not work, and I refuse to update it because the memory's not enough. See how they've done that? They don't give you, there's not a physical memory in the thing to keep drinking the stuff that they keep feeding it online. And so it's like, there's not enough memory. You need the cloud. Oh, just for 99 cents a month, you can buy more memory than you'll ever need, and we'll share everything with everyone. All your pictures, all of your texts, all those things that you would never want anyone to know, they're in the cloud. Wait till yours comes on television. You'll see it pretty soon. It's maddening. When you finally decide to do the thing, when you finally decide to do the update, you bite the bullet, and it does its thing where it powers down and then it powers back up, and you get like the progress bar, and you just wait there wringing your hands. You shouldn't, but we do, because we know that the next step is we have to unlock the thing and find out what they changed. You got to find out what happened. Your calendar is different. The colors are different. They've put thing in folders for you because that's helpful. Stuff that was in one place, you click there and it's gone. And you're like, this was my life's work. Why it's on your phone, I don't know. But my life's work was on my phone and it's gone. It's no longer there. And you have to log back into everything. And shockingly, you've decided for a different password on everything. Like, you haven't kept the same thing because you don't want your stuff to get hacked, right? So your 5 email addresses, they all have a different, right, password for stuff. Your other stuff on you guys, this is password protected. You have to reset all of those. It's madness. My wife won't do updates. My wife waits until her electronics stop working, and then she gives them to me and says, fix it. I'm not kidding. She's downstairs in the nursery. You can ask her that. She'll be like, this doesn't work anymore. And so then she lets me update it for hours because she doesn't wait for one or two or four. She waits until, like, literally the phone hiccups. Like, it'll flash on, it'll flash off, it'll flash on, it'll flash off, and then I'll sit with it from 7 to 11 while I do the five or six updates. She hates updates. Why is it better? I don't understand. I mean, I do understand. There's this idea that we want to be more productive and we want things to go smoother and the updates are supposed to take less room but give you more, which is a lie. It's just supposed to be better. Updating is supposed to be better. I don't understand what's wrong with the old configuration. I loved old Gmail. Old Gmail was great. I could read it all. I knew where everything was. And then they were like, do you want to try new Gmail? And I was like, no, I don't. And I've told them no for months. And then finally they were like, here's new Gmail. And I was like, thanks for that. I can't find my threads. What is wrong with the old way of doing things? How is it that people I don't know, people I've never met before, make the decision that they know what I need? We've never had that conversation, but I'm going to give you this new app. I'm going to change your existing app because it'll be better for you. This is what you need. How can they assume? How can a person that I've never actually met assume that there's a better way for me, that they know something better? There's a new way. It's a great analogy for what we experience as believers. What if I told you, please don't panic, because it's your choice. What if I told you that there's an update available for you? What if I told you, I know, but you've met me, okay? This is me. I'm not somewhere in some other place sitting behind a desk making decisions for you. What if I said to you that there's a new way of thinking, there's a new way of doing things, there's a new way of feeling that's available to you? The Apostle Paul first mentions it. It's interesting, sometimes you read the Bible and you miss things because you just weren't there and because you don't understand the context and because you haven't heard the conversations. Paul wrote lots of letters, but he had lots of conversations. And a lot of the letters that we read, those people would have heard him say those things in context. He visited their churches, he visited their homes, he went to their Bible studies, Dunkin' Donuts, whatever. He went where they were to talk to them and to teach them, to help them understand what the way was about and how following Jesus worked. And so some of the things that we get in Scripture, they don't make a lot of sense because we don't have the context. Romans 6 is very interesting. He just says out of nowhere, he says our old self. He just kind of throws it out there like, this is a thing. Your old self was crucified with Jesus on the cross. That's what he says. Your old self. He says that the old self is inextricably connected to sin. That means one is in the other, and you can't pull the two apart. But that death to the old self brings freedom from sin. He just throws it out there. He just is talking, chatting. Here's all the good things. And by the way, your old self, it's bad. It's connected to sin, but it died with Jesus on the cross. Your old self died with Jesus. And the new self that you now have, the update, which apparently happened in the middle of the night that you weren't aware of because you didn't pick yes, it just happened. Well, you kind of did. We'll talk about that in a second. It's free from the sin that so entangles, from this bondage that you've experienced your whole life. He mentions it again in another letter. He writes a letter to a group of people called the Ephesians. In that letter, he says that the old self was corrupted by sin. Now, that I get. Have you ever had something corrupted? Have you ever had a file that you really needed? And it said, we're sorry. You just get that infuriatingly. And when did the print get so small? I know I'm getting old, but the print is like I'm at my screen and it says in like 0.1 font, network error, we're sorry. Like, is it afraid to like tell me up front in like 12 font? Like, it's gonna give me one font, because if it gives me 12 font, I'm gonna yell at it? I don't know. It makes me stare at it. So you stare at the thing and it says, oh, the file is corrupted. What does that mean? That means it's gone. Something happened in that machine, and there was some food got splattered on it, or somebody walked by with a Coke. I don't know. It got knocked off into the dirt, and somebody picked it up, blew it off, and put it back on the thing. I don't know what happened to the file, but it's corrupted. You can't get to it anymore because something about that changed to the place where it was broken forever. Totally broken. We'll never be the same. I understand that. Data gets corrupted. You ever try to open a program and it just won't? and that it gives you like 17 different errors, and of course you Google and you're like, my thing won't open. And there's all these people who tell you to try to, oh, just go into the registry, and there's all these different ways, right? There's all these steps that you have to take because now your program won't open. He says your old self was corrupted by sin, damaged. That data, the data of your spirit, your hard drive was damaged. And that we must put on the new self, he says, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and the holiness of truth. Again, he just kind of throws out the old and the new. When did this happen? When did I get something new? I'm aware of when I get something new. When that Amazon package comes, I'm tracking it on my phone. I'm not one of those people who orders something and is just like, it'll get here whenever. No, I'm watching it. It left Washington. It's in Indiana. I get the updates just because I want to know when my new thing is coming. You know what I'm saying? I feel pretty confident I would have known when I got a new self. You understand what I'm saying to you? Still seems to be the same. I look in the mirror and a lot of the things that I wish were new are just getting older. Gravity drags harder. You understand what I'm saying? Like my ears used to be even and now one of them is like one of my legs is, what is going on? I just had to have an operation because some of this is not new. Like why didn't I get a new, if I had gotten a new self, if I'd have put something on, if there was something that I had to engage, that I had to be a part of, that I had to take hold of, I think I would have known it. When does the new thing happen? It happens so quietly and so instantaneously that it's like a blip. Whenever you say yes to Jesus, it's done. That's it. You don't have to wait for a reboot. You don't have to wait for a reset. You don't have to, there's no time that goes by. You don't have to try to find somebody to explain to you how it is that you engage the thing. It just happens. And Paul is saying to these people in the past tense, because he's speaking to both the Christians and the non-Christians, but mostly the Christians in these churches, he said, listen, your old self died, it's gone. There's a new self, the upgrade is done. But you've got to engage it. And there seems to be a problem. There seems to be a problem. Sometimes it seems, no matter how long you've been walking this walk and talking this talk, sometimes it seems like it didn't quite take. Something interrupted the download. The reason that I say that is because he's talking to the Romans and the Ephesians as if their install didn't happen. He's encouraging them, look, you guys have got to stop doing the old stuff. You've got to stop going the old way. You've got to stop thinking the old way. You've got to stop behaving. You've got to stop trying to bring the old in with the new. I hate to tell you this, Ephesians, but you can't party in the church anymore. I mean, I know that you guys are a party culture, and that's fine, but there's got to be something different about you because the things that you've always sought are empty, and you know it. So why is it that you keep going back to the old? Why is it that you guys keep trying to do the old thing? You're brand new. Everything about you is new. There's freedom in the download. This upgrade means you're free. Why is it that you keep trying to revert to an older system? Why do you keep trying to? Because it's comfortable. Because it's familiar. Because change is not easy. That's why they did it, and that's why you and I do it. That's why there are times when you can think something that you are grateful to the Lord God that didn't get like broadcast anywhere. You are grateful that there's not a cloud of your mind or your heart that someone can go in, hack, and then download and put it on a web page. Because we know God and we love God and we have said yes to Jesus, and yet there's this old thing that constantly we try to move back into because it's comfortable and because it's familiar. So how do you get it to work? If you're supposed to die to the old and put on the new, but the putting on of the new happened in the second that you said yes to Jesus, how are we supposed to navigate this whole thing? Why is it that sometimes we want to step back into the old? Why is it? How is it? What are we supposed to do? Paul has a pretty good outline in Colossians chapter 3. This is what we're going to be talking about for the next couple of weeks. The update that's available for you. He talks about it in Romans a little bit. He talks about it in Ephesians a little bit. But in Colossians chapter 3, we're just going to read the first four verses, even though it's 1 through 17, where he kind of lines that out. He kind of gives you the program. If you want the update, here's what you got to do. This is Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. I'm in the New American Standard. Don't freak out if your flavor is different from mine. If some of the words are, it's still God, it's still Jesus, no heresy, promise. Colossians chapter 3, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. There's a lot there. And he just comes right out with it. And he lets you know immediately, this is not an easy thing. This is not going to be easy, because you've got to change how you think. To walk away from, to put behind you, to cast off, to lay aside, to get away from the old and embrace the new, fully embrace that debt, I mean, to just let that thing become your truth. You've got to set your mind on the things above. My first thought is that's way easier when there's dirt roads and sandals. Nobody's got a thing fake buzzing in their pocket trying to get their attention. There aren't calendars. I mean, there are calendars, but not the kind of calendars that run my life. They're not worried about, you know, a lot of the things. I want to tell myself that it was an easier time. I want to tell myself that back then, saying set your mind on the things above, it just was kind of like a switch flipping. Not true. They had just as much challenge because for them, there was a system in place that worked. I don't know if you remember, but the old way of doing things was all about performance basis. The first covenant said, if you can earn it, you can have it. You want God's forgiveness? You want atonement? It's all on you. It's all your responsibility. And so that's a great way to live life, man. Just trying to earn it all the time, isn't it? Because then the control is yours and the power is yours. And if you miss it, that's your fault. If you get it, you earned it. You get to tell everybody about it. Check out my righteousness level. I leveled up last night. It was late, but I just kept playing until I got to the next level. My holiness meter, not so great, but I'm gonna log in over there and we'll get that pumped up later this weekend. I might even binge it. You know what I'm saying? I might just be like, no work, my holiness level's coming up. Wasn't any easier then. They had to change their mindset. We have got to change how we think. And that is challenging in a 24-hour news cycle. That is challenging where everybody thinks not only that you want to know what they're thinking and what they're saying, but that they're right. I heard somebody say it. Social media is not even about being right anymore. It's just about being out there and being the loudest, saying the thing that gets the most attention. It doesn't have to be accurate. Just as long as it's shocking and you can get some views or some likes or whatever. We've got to change how we think. We've got to stop being so focused. And I know that that's hard. Do not go home and quit your job and tell them, my pastor said I can't think about my job anymore. I have to think about heaven. So I'm not going to think about this anymore. That's not what I'm saying to you. Don't go home and not do your assignments or whatever. We've got to be here, but we are not from here. We are not of here. And that is a challenge, to be in the world, but to not be of it. We have got to, he says, set your mind on the things above, not the things that are on the earth. What does that even mean? It means changing the way that you think. It means engaging positivity differently, and it means engaging negativity differently. It means bringing God into every aspect of your life. Stop thinking about everything that's right in front of your face and start thinking about what's ahead of you. I understand that in the challenges of life, when he says you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also be revealed with him in glory. I know that that's not a whole lot of comfort in this moment. The idea that I got to pay my bills. I'm glad to be revealed with Christ whenever that is, but I got to pay my bills next month. But you have to understand that if your life is hidden with Christ in God, I want you to see that for a minute. Your life in Christ, in God. Can you see the layers? Can you see how there's you? And then around you is Christ? and then around him is God? That should bring a different perspective to how you experience, because you are never alone and you never experience anything that Jesus hasn't already been in front of. And God is constantly surrounding the entirety of your life and your circumstances and your issues. We've got to learn how to think differently, to be focused on things that matter, to be focused on the time that we spend with him. If this is the only time that you get with God during the week, please, my friend, my brother, make a change. I promise you, you will not regret it. If the only place that all of your finances go are either to the people you owe or a little bit that you can save, if you can't find a way to take some of those finances, which if we are not careful, can have such an incredible death grip on us, if you can't find a way to part with just a portion, just a tithe of that, and give it to the Lord and let him have it with your gladness. The word says a lot about how you and money just don't mix, about how money can run you, about how the love of money can destroy you. We've got to learn how to think differently. If you are a glutton for all the bad stuff the world has to offer, if you can't wait to get on Twitter, if you just can't stand being away from Facebook for 5 minutes, if you are Insta whatever or Snap whatever, if that's what you are intaking and you can't figure out why you feel so bummed all the time, why you feel like there's no end to anything, why you just like the world is terrible, it's never going to get any better, there's a new crisis every 5 minutes, maybe you disconnect from that. Maybe you stop focusing on that and maybe you begin to think about he who gave his life for you for just a little while. It can bring great perspective for you when you get outside of all the negativity that this world has to offer and begin to focus on he who gave his life for you. Begin to put some energy into that. Begin to energize that with feeling and with intention and with your emotion. Begin to live there for a few minutes. If you don't feel better, let's talk. There's something wrong with you. Come and see me. We'll pray. We'll do whatever we got to do. We've got to stop being so focused on every moment of every hour of every day of every week of every month here. We are living it moment to moment, and we are not designed for that. What do you spend your time thinking about? Rhetorical. I don't want to know. I'm not going to tell you. I don't want to get fired. What do you spend your time thinking about? What do you energize with your focus? When it's late at night and you can't sleep, what are you engaging? Really good and healthy stuff? While you're on your phone looking at things that uplift you and edify you, as the Bible says? Things that really bring you joy? I don't know. Cat videos, those bring me joy. So if it's cat videos, I'm not going to come for you. No judgment. If it's the cats, have you ever seen what a cat does around a cucumber? They lose it. I've watched hours of it, so I can tell you exactly what felines do when they come into contact with a cucumber. What are you thinking about? In your day-to-day, in your relationships, what are you thinking about? Where is your focus? What are you allowing influence into your life and into your sphere? What are you allowing influence into your heart? We've got to learn to think differently. That's step one. Next couple weeks, we'll talk about how Paul outlines the process. How is it that this new self can be myself? How is it that I can push this? Because it calls to me. I don't know what it does for you, but the old way of me calls to me still. I've been a pastor for, 15-ish years, 2002. 16, I started my 16th year. 17, I don't know, 2002 is when I started. And my old life, I'm talking about from my late teens to early 20s, still calls to me sometimes. Still tries to tell me that, hey, wouldn't it be that bad if you did the following thing? I'm like, are you kidding? I'm too old for that. How can we be truly, completely separated from the old self, take on the new self, take on Christ, and be changed forever? How can we do it? It starts with the way you think. Father, I pray in Jesus' name in this moment that you would begin to set us up for the next couple of weeks, for the change we so desperately need. I pray, God, that you would help us begin to just disconnect from the old way and the old self. I pray, Father, when we are tempted to return back to that, I pray, God, we would stop failing and going back. I pray, Father, we would stand still and we would move away. We need the new self. We need the new way of being. We need the new way of thinking. We need the new way of behaving. We need the new way of feeling. We need to be new. And your word is going to tell us how to do that. But we start today, Father, with our minds. I pray, God, that even now people would begin to consecrate their minds. I pray, Father, that even now they would begin to give you their thoughts. I pray, God, that people would begin to make plans right now to stop the inflow of negativity and begin to spend time focusing and thinking about relationship with you, about finding their hope and their dreams in you, about finding meaning in their life through the filter of relationship with you. I pray, God, if anybody in here walked today with their mind bent, darkened, corrupted by circumstance, by situation, by physical illness, by bitterness, by events that they can't change in the past, by failures of the present, or by the frustration that the future holds. I pray, Father, right now you would begin to break that by the power of your Spirit. Let love begin to come in. I pray, Father, our minds would be made fresh and new. I pray they would be anointed by your grace and your mercy. I pray, God, we would stop thinking the old things. I pray, Father, we would have the courage to think in a new way. It starts with how we think, God. Paul is very clear. Your servant Paul is very clear. It starts how we think. Change our minds, God. Help us to focus on the thing that matters, which is you. Heal our minds, Father. In my heart, I just want to say to you, if you're out there this morning and there are things that you have put in a compartment, if you've put something in a box in the back of your mind, and you've put that box in a closet and you've locked the door, unfortunately for you, my friend, God created your brain in a way that it's going to continue to rotate that door around in front of you. The Holy Spirit will not allow that kind of stuff in his temple. If there's something that is locked away for you, I pray, my friend, that you would have the courage in this moment to begin just to consider to open that door, to take a look in that box and let the light of love and truth and grace and mercy and power into that box. Part of the reason that you can't think differently, part of the reason you can't be differently is because of what you've got locked in that closet, what you have tried to put away, what you've tried to put, you've just tried to move past it. It hasn't been healed. You're not whole. You're trying to function and you are handicapped by that thing. I pray, God, for whoever that person is, that you would be with them in this moment, that you would give them courage. Give them courage to open that door, to unlock it and to open that box and to let your light into whatever that darkness is. Begin to work and move in them, God. If that's you out there today, I pray the Father would begin to work and move in you. Begin to clear your mind of the frustration. Begin to cut all the ties to the past. Begin to bring true forgiveness and reconciliation in your heart and in your mind. Be free from that, I pray. God, change our minds. Begin the process taking on the new self, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here today.